Well, one day, former President George Bush was in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, and believe it or not, he saw Moses walking by. And he thought to himself, you know, I've always wanted to talk to Moses. And so he calls out, Moses, come here, I want to talk with you. Moses turns around, see who it was, and he starts running in the opposite direction, down the terminal. So former President Bush got the Secret Service, said, go catch him. So they finally had to tackle Moses in the terminal, and they said, the president wants to speak with you. Why did you run away? He said, well, the last time I spoke with a Bush, I had to walk through the desert for 40 years. Says, I'm not taking any chances. Well, today, Moses shows up at the Transfiguration along with Elijah. Take a look at today's gospel. See, Moses was the great lawgiver. He's the one who led the people into the promised land. Jesus is the new Moses. He leads us, his people, to the promised land of heaven. Elijah also appears. He is the great prophet. So you have the law and the prophets converging in Moses and Elijah. And they appear to Jesus on Mount Tabor. So when we look at today's gospel, this is the Transfiguration. It's always read during the second Sunday of Lent. I think it's read here to encourage us to be faithful to prayer and penance and the sacrifices of Lent. Because this gospel is really a preview of coming attractions. That's what the Transfiguration is. It's a preview of the resurrection. It's a little glimpse into the divinity of Christ, the preview, and it's encouraging us to be faithful to our Lenten sacrifices and prayers so that we will also one day experience the glory of the resurrection. So this event is called the Transfiguration, when Jesus revealed his divinity to Peter, James, and John. It says he took them up a high mountain. See, he always took Peter, James, and John, his three closest friends, whenever he had something very special to do. He took them when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. He took them to the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And he would also take them into the Garden of Gethsemane. They would see the Lord at his lowest point when he was covered in blood, when he had the bloody sweat. And so the Lord was about to strengthen these apostles, Peter, James, and John, because they would be experiencing the agony in the garden with the Lord. So he was strengthening their faith before the trial, before the sufferings and the passion of Christ. And through Peter, James, and John, he strengthens all of our faith, because these were the witnesses. So when he strengthened the faith of Peter, James, and John, he strengthened our faith, because they were the witnesses on our behalf. It says he took them up a high mountain. This is called Mount Tabor. You can go to the Holy Land and go up and see this. I had the privilege a number of years ago to go to this holy mountain. It's quite a steep climb, so they don't let you walk up. They bus you up, and then they only take you halfway. Because after halfway, the roads become very narrow and big drops and cliffs. And so the bus takes, let's say, 40 people up, and then they stop halfway up the mountain. Then you get out, and you get into 10 taxis. Okay, and these taxis are about 50 years old, and they have bald tires, and they go racing at the top speed as they can all the way up to Mount Tabor. And you're saying acts of contrition, and you're praying, Lord, don't let me die. Not a bad place to die on Mount Tabor. So, in fact, the driver once said that that road was a three-sided road. You had the left side, the right side, and suicide. Okay, the three-sided road. So they take you up, and there it is, the beautiful church at Mount Tabor, where this occurred, the Transfiguration. See, this reveals that Jesus is truly God. We see his true nature. The holiness, the light, the brightness shines forth from Christ. And it's such a great event that Moses and Elijah show up, and they're talking with Jesus about his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. This is one of the best apologetic arguments for the communion of saints. Now, we ask the saints to pray for us. I've heard people outside the church say, why do you need the saints? They're just dead people. Well, they're not dead people. They are living. Look at Moses and Elijah. They weren't dead guys. they were living and they were conversing with Christ about his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection. In other words, they cared about what the Lord was going to go through. The same thing with your grandparents that are up in heaven, or St. Francis, or St. Therese, or the Blessed Mother. See, these saints are living. They're seeing God face to face so they can intercede and they can pray for us. That's why we ask them to pray for us. It's the communion of saints. This is one of the best scriptures that show that these saints are living and alive, and they care about what we're going through on earth. Well, St. Peter is so overcome with awe. He says he doesn't know what to say. So he says, let's keep everything the way it is. Let's build three chapels, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. See, St. Peter did not want this to end. He said, let's stay here forever. Let's not go back down the mountain. If you go down the mountain, he'd be going towards his death in Jerusalem. So he says, let's stay up here. As you know, Peter is always saying the wrong thing in Scripture. They say, you ever heard the expression, he put his foot in his mouth? Well, Peter usually just changed feet whenever he opened his mouth because he was always saying the wrong thing. And so God the Father has to interrupt him. And he says, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. See, that's everything. Jesus is the revelation of the Father. That all we need in life is Jesus, the beloved Son. If we listen to him, we'll be okay. And this manifests the Blessed Trinity. The bright cloud of God overshadowed them. That's the Shekinah glory of God. That's the Holy Spirit. The voice is the voice of the Father. And then you have Jesus present there. So you have the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, present on the holy mountain of Tabor. And so they're overcome with this. And then the next thing they know, the vision disappears, Moses and Elijah are gone, and the Lord is there by himself. And the Lord tells them, do not tell anyone about this until I have risen from the dead. See, we call today's gospel a preview of coming attractions. You know what? Have you ever gone to the movies? Movies never start on time, right? There's always previews of coming attractions because they want to get you interested in future things. Well, today, God gives us a preview of coming attractions. You go to the movies, it's 10 or 12 minutes of previews, right? Today is the transfiguration, the preview of the coming attraction of the resurrection. So we should take from today's gospel is to persevere in our Lenten sacrifices and prayers, because we see a glimpse of the future glory coming about in a few weeks at the resurrection. We see today the manifestation of the Trinity. We see the divinity of Christ revealed to us, and we're prepared for suffering. Just as the Lord prepared Peter, James, and John for the agony in the garden and the scourging at the pillar and all those things that will happen to the Lord. So this is a very good encouragement that when you go through trials and sufferings and difficulties in this life, always keep your eye focused on the future glory of heaven, the future glory of the resurrection. As St. Paul once said, the sufferings of this world are as nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us.